British political activist and former Roman Catholic priest Bruce Kent is visiting Brentwood today. Active in the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament, CND, he was the organisation's General Secretary from 1980 to 1985 and its chair from 1987 to 1990. He now holds the honorary title of Vice President. Hello, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Thank you for coming to Brentwood today and also to Phoenix FM. How are you?
I'm very well indeed and glad to be in Brentwood again. I've been here many times. I like it.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. We'll come to that later on.
Okay.
Now, I know you're in between speaking engagements in the area today as part of a nationwide tour you're doing this month to speak out against the costly replacement of Trident at a time when you feel that other savage government cuts are going on now. How is your tour going?
I think it's going very well. I've been everywhere from Tavistock round to York, and I think by far the majority of people agree that it's a waste of money, £100 billion on more nuclear weapons at a time when the world should be getting rid of them. So yes. I think it's a good, successful tour.
Good. So, I mean, generally it's been a positive reaction
you've had. One man told me to go back to North Korea, that's all. Otherwise it's been very successful.
Okay, well, turning to Trident itself, first of all, let's talk briefly about what Trident is. How would you describe Trident?
Trident is a set of missiles ranged from 6,000 miles, mounted on four submarines with a total number of warheads into the hundreds, and each one 10 times bigger than the Hiroshima bomb.
Right. And it said that work on a replacement can't be delayed because the submarines alone could take up to 17 years to develop. Yeah.
Well, it could be delayed a year or two, no doubt, whatever, it could be delayed. Or they could take the warheads off the missiles. There's lots of things they could do meanwhile.
Okay. All right. Now, first, let me put the case for UK nuclear weapons. Now, the Prime Minister, David Cameron, has always maintained that the UK needs to keep its nuclear deterrent. And replacing Trident was a Conservative manifesto pledge in the last general election. As part of the coalition agreement that brought the Conservatives and Liberal Democrats into power, they said that Trident would be replaced, but the programme would be scrutinised to ensure value for money. Labour supports Trident renewal, saying that it's been a cornerstone of peace and security for nearly 50 years, although a number of MPs on the left of the party have historically opposed it. So it seems that all the main political parties support Trident renewal.
Well, except I wouldn't call it Maine, but the Green Party. And certainly in Scotland, the Scots Nationalists, and indeed everybody in Scotland wants to get rid of Trident.
Right. OK, well, earlier this month, David Cameron said that the UK would be foolish to abandon Trident in the face of the potential threat of a nuclear attack from North Korea and Iran. Speaking about North Korea specifically, he had this to say.
It has extremely dangerous technologies in terms of nuclear and its weapons. It has a new and relatively unknown leader. And obviously the noises it's been making in recent weeks and months are worrying and threatening. What matters is that North Korea should abide by all the United Nations resolutions which have been laid down. We do need to make sure that this whole situation, that the heat is taken out of it. But it is principally North Korea, in fact, almost entirely North Korea, that is able to do that and ought to do that. But I think it's a good moment to stand back and ask ourselves about the dangers there are in the world and the need to maintain strong defences. I mean, the fact is, as I wrote in a newspaper article this morning, North Korea does now have missile technology that is able to reach, as they put it, the whole of the United States. So if they're able to reach the whole of the United States, they can reach Europe too. They can reach us too. So that is a real concern. And I think the question we need to ask ourselves in the context of this debate about the nuclear deterrent is, you know, what will a country like North Korea be like in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? How certain can we be? How certain can we be that its weapons will be secure? How certain can we be that they won't share weapons and technology with other countries? We can't be sure of those things. And that is why I think it's so important to maintain strong defences, to maintain our nuclear deterrent, to maintain that insurance policy against the risks that there are in our world. And North Korea is a good example of that.
Well, there you are. That's the Prime Minister. How do you react to that, Bruce?
I think that's bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. If North Korea, which probably doesn't know where we are, if they're going to attack us, then every country in the world ought to have nuclear weapons, because every country in the world would be entitled to say North Korea might attack us. What we need to do is start talking to North Korea and getting rid of nuclear weapons. But there's no way we can do that while we are saying we're going to have them for another 30 years. Cameron talked about fulfilling their legal obligations. We have a legal obligation to negotiate abolition. We are refusing to negotiate. So I really think it's a propaganda cobblers, what we've just heard.
Okay. And do you know if that is a fact, that Korea could actually reach the United States and Europe with their nuclear
missiles? I have no idea. Who knows if they've got a bomb to start with?
Right.
They can certainly reach Alaska with a missile.
Right.
That's United States. I suppose that's what he means.
Okay. The Prime Minister has said that the nuclear danger had actually increased since the end of the Cold War. Do you feel that's an accurate statement?
It's increased in the sense that nuclear technology will go into the hands of terrorists, and nuclear weapons will have absolutely no advantage whatever. What do you do with a nuclear war when someone puts a bomb in a police station or a cinema or something? It's meaningless.
Yeah.
That's the real threat we face, not North Korea.
Right. There's also an argument that without a Trident replacement, the UK's nuclear industry could be severely damaged. Some estimates say that up to 15,000 jobs may be lost, as well as considerable expertise. If a new batch of submarines is not commissioned, what would you do about that?
Well, I think the estimate of a workforce is about three times as big as the reality, but it is a real problem, certainly a problem people working. And I've always said, well, if we can make submarines, we can make hospital ships. Why in Barrow don't they commission four hospital ships? Stick Union Jacks on the front and go around the world doing good things. More for peace than more nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Yeah. The government's put the bill for Trident at between $15 billion and $20 billion. Campaign group Greenpeace claims that it will run to at least $30 billion once extra costs like VAT are factored in. Now, you've quoted a figure of $100 billion, I believe. How do you arrive at that figure?
$25 billion for the construction, the
right.
building of the four new submarines, and $75 billion for running them during their lifetime. That's about $2 billion a year. And that makes sense, really.
Okay. Okay. Well, you may have already... I think you've covered some of this already, but turning to the arguments against a replacement for Trident, what are they?
Well, they don't protect us from any threats that we might actually have. There was a meteorite fell on Russia the other day. No one's saying we should put a tin roof over the Parliament in Westminster in case we get a meteorite. There are real threats in the world, but I think they're terrorism, illnesses, tsunamis. Look, the Japanese weren't ready for that, were they?
Right.
All those are real threats. So this one is an absolute fiction. And the way out of it is to start getting rid of them all, as we've done with landmines and with chemical weapons.
Right. Some argue that under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, Britain should not be rearming. Critics also argue that using Trident would break international law, since such a weapon would not be able to distinguish between combatants and civilians. So what about Trident's legality?
Oh, that's quite right.
Yeah.
Article 6 of the Non-Proliferation Treaty requires us to negotiate abolition, and you can't say that if we're replacing Trident for another 30 years. So it's illegal in that sense. Of course, it's indiscriminate. Any use of nuclear weapons would be a crime against, as the Vatican once said, against God and man, because you destroy hundreds of thousands of innocent people.
Mm-hmm.
And the bluff is that we'll never use them because we've got them.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know. We don't know what accidents take place. It's always possible that something awful happens.
Yeah. Okay. Now, last week, former government minister Michael Howard had another take on the issue. Let's have a listen to what he had to say.
Let me give you a hypothetical example. We take it upon ourselves, normally together with other countries, to be prepared to intervene in certain circumstances for what we regard as humanitarian reasons. We did it most recently together with the French in Libya. Now, if Libya had still had nuclear weapons, then some people might have thought that Colonel Gaddafi might have been prepared to use them in those circumstances. I don't think he would have been prepared to use them. Why? Because he knew that we and the French had them. And you cannot discount the possibility that we might, for the very best of reasons, for humanitarian reasons, want to intervene in a part of the world which was within reach of North Korea's nuclear arsenal, and we might be deterred from intervening and achieving those humanitarian objectives if they had those nuclear weapons and we didn't. And so you've got to take into account the enormous uncertainty of the world in which we live, the fact that we can't predict all the likely situations that might arise, and that's why I believe we do need to keep our nuclear deterrent.
Michael Howard there. How do you react to that, Bruce?
Well, I think that's equally perverse. It's precisely Libya that gave up its nuclear weapon program because of economic pressure, as we could do with North Korea if we wanted. Libya gave it up under Gaddafi, didn't have them. And if there's going to be intervention around the world, it's not for Michael Howard to say when it's going to happen. It should be through the proper authority of the United Nations, which we never had for Libya. It was a French-British affair.
Right, OK. Can you tell us about EDM 96?
Oh, God, I know which one's that one. I think is about negotiations, isn't it?
It's the MPs have tabled Early Day Motion 96, Trident Replacement, which calls on the government to cancel plans to replace the Trident nuclear weapons submarines, arguing the case on both security and spending grounds.
Yeah, it's quite right. Very sensible thing to sign up for. That's now that these Early Day Motions, it's very important. I hope people will show their views. In Scotland, getting rid of nuclear weapons is a vote winner. But the old Labour Party down here is living in the days of 1983 when we had the SDP split the whole Labour movement. And nowadays, it's quite the opposite.
Sure. And, of course, people can email their MP and make sure they had their name in support.
Please do. Yeah. Please do.
Well, Bruce, I have to say I'm full of admiration for you. You've been a tireless campaigner for CND for many years now, and no one could doubt your passion, dedication and humanity, even if they disagree with you. Will you ever retire from all this?
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I can't go just grow radishes. No, thank you very much.
No. Well, you're on this tour. You've been to Peterborough, Birkenhead and Liverpool, Manchester, Sheffield and Doncaster, Brentwood today, Norwich tomorrow, Reigate and Redhill the day after, I think. Oh, no, a few days later. And Kingston upon Thames. And it continues, I think, into May, doesn't it?
Norwich next week, yeah. And then I have a little rest for a couple of days.
Okay. Well, you mentioned earlier you've been to Brentwood many times. I didn't know that. I thought you last visited Brentwood in the 1980s on your walk from Land's End to John O'Groats.
Oh, no.
What was that experience like?
Oh, well, by long walks. The biggest one was from Warsaw to Brussels. That was a real whopper. That was 1,000 miles. Took 6 weeks to do. That was wonderful. I enjoyed those walks. I met lots of people. Yeah. But Brentwood, you've got a lovely Roman Catholic bishop here, right. Thomas McMahon, who's always been on our side,
right.
And a very good justice and peace group across the churches. So I've been invited down many times to talk to them, and I've much enjoyed.
Excellent. And of course, you're not finished today yet. Later on tonight, you'll be speaking at a free public meeting at Merrymead House in Merrymead Chase in Brentwood at 7 p.m. I believe that starts.
Yeah.
And I think you're inviting questions from the audience.
Of course.
Yeah?
Please, people don't agree, please come.
Yes. Okay. Excellent.
Okay.
Well, that is brilliant. Thank you so much for coming into Phoenix today. And good luck with the rest of your tour.
And good luck with Phoenix.
Thank you very much. That's Bruce Kent.